The Why Me Project, an exclusive presentation of Faith Strong Today.
I say this because we're here to learn. Mm-hmm. And I mean, when you talk to a guy who's a fellow radio guy, Holly, a coach, a counselor, you would think that probably not for us, but Lord knows you and I probably need a lot of that.
I would say yes for us. No hesitation.
No. But us talking to Dr. Gary Lawrence today is not for us, but it is for us.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. Absolutely. And I would say, yes, it's still for us.
We'd be remiss to not mention our special guest for today. And Dr. Gary Lawrence, my friend, how are you?
I'm doing great. And, you know, I'm listening to you converse there, Johnny. And a thought came to mind. Kindness is the hardest thing to give away because it always keeps coming back. You know, and you're so kind with the introduction. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we like to ask the skill testing question because we never know where it's going to go. And that is, who are you and where did you come from?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I was born and raised in Wabash, Indiana. I'm a Hoosier. And then I was raised in a home with both my parents were severe alcoholics and very agnostic. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Mm. And then I got saved when I was 20 and a half years old. And 3 months later, surrendered to the ministry and went off to college. And my second year in college is where I met my wife, Sylvia. I'll never forget, I said to my roommate, Bob, I said, Bob, you see that beautiful brunette over there in that blue outfit? And he said, yeah, what about her? And I said, I'm going to ask her out for a date. And I said, I'll probably end up marrying her.
Aww.
And 4 months later, we got married. That was 57 years ago.
Wow.
When you know, you know.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, you know, yesterday, we're celebrating our 57th anniversary on March 2nd. And Sylvia and I were out for lunch at a restaurant. And so I looked at her and said, well, honey, we've grown old together. Now what? And she just looked at me like, now what? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just keep growing older and
well,
wiser.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, people say that the older you get, the wiser you get. But that's not always true.
What?
Wisdom and age don't always come together. Sad to say, age usually comes by itself.
Growing up then, did you think that counseling was going to be your thing? Like, where did you think that you were going to lead your career into?
I was raised in a little old town, 9,000 people in north of Indianapolis, Indiana. Well, after I got saved, surrendered to the ministry, graduated from Bible college, Sylvie and I moved to Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada.
Nice, Canadian connection.
We started a church there, and my goodness, I didn't know a person. I just started knocking doors and rented an empty Lutheran church building, and in 6 months, we had 170 in our congregation.
Wow.
In 3 years, we bought 5 acres of land and built a 450-seat auditorium, and then we built an educational facility for 125 students. For the Manitoba Christian Schools. So my ministry was growing. People were getting saved. Lives were being changed. But my marriage was falling apart. Mm-hmm. You see, there was so much that Sylvia and I didn't understand when we got married. I say it like this. Opposites attract. Then they attack. Then they retract. Okay? So anyway, Sylvia is a beautiful lady. She's quiet. A nonverbal personality, quiet. She didn't express herself. When Sylvia was 7 years old, she developed tuberculosis. Mm. And she was bedridden for several years. During that time, that's when her father started sexually abusing her. So then her mother, who was a very critical, narcissistic personality, was very verbally, physically, and emotionally abusive to her. Now, Sylvia handled her rejection by withdrawing. She would literally hide in the basement under the stairs to get away from her mother's anger and wrath. So I was raised in a home where they were agnostics, a lot of alcohol, no semblance of any godliness in our home at all. And so my father was very physically abusive to me. I was the fourth of four children. He believed my mother got pregnant by another man. He never called me by my name.
Hmm.
Down in Bible college, Sylvia and I met, and I decided we needed to get married. I'll never forget it. We were on a date one night about 4 months after we met. And I said, Sylvia, I think it's time we get married. She said, well, okay, if you think so. I mean, that's how passive she was. Here again, opposites attract, then they attack, you know. But anyway, so we got married. And then 3 months after we got married, I was out preaching somewhere in Missouri. And I wanted to get home Sunday night. And she was in bed. It was about midnight. I got home, finished myself something to eat, took a shower, got in bed and began to embrace her and caress her. And she literally jumped out of the bed so fast she slammed herself against the wall. And for the next 4 hours, she sat there with her knees drawn up to her chest saying, you can't touch me like that. Don't tell my daddy what you've been doing to me. He told me never let another man touch me like he did.
Aww.
Well, that was an introduction to her sexual gift. Well, boy, did we have a problem. You talk about anger. I had so much hatred in my heart towards that man. Well, Sylvia and I, we couldn't understand what was happening to us. My ministry in Winnipeg was being greatly blessed. A lot of people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But my marriage was in a shambles. And so Sylvia figured out the best way she could handle this was to leave me and leave the boys with me. At least I would take care of them. So there's her escapism again in operation, okay? So I promised her, I said, see, and here's what's really sad. Christian people are so concerned about what other Christians think about them. My response to her situation, her emotions at that time was not, well, what can I do to love my wife? What can I do to meet her needs? My response was, what are the people in the church going to think of me? What are they going to say about me? See, I was more concerned about my precious reputation than I was the needs of my wife mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And that's really sad. But anyway, I said, you know what? We believe the Word of God has the answers to everything. Sylvia, I'm going to find out what it is about you and I that's creating this extreme rejection that you and I are giving each other. Stay with me. Don't leave me. I'm going to find the answer. And you know what? I got into the Word of God, and I came across a verse of Scripture. You talk about a Why Me project. This was the Why Me project that God used to put me into counseling. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15 says, look diligently, lest any man misses out or fails of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up and thereby trouble you and defile many. The root of bitterness does two things. It troubles you as the individual, and it defiles many. Now, a lot of people, you know, bitterness is not a happy word, you know. People are not going to raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm bitter, okay? And Sylvia said, you know, I'm not like you. I said, what do you mean you're not like me? Well, I'm not angry all the time. And so I said, you know what? You may not be angry like I am, but you have a wounded spirit. And so she said, what do you mean? I said, when your father sexually abused you, he wounded your spirit. He abused your body, but he wounded your spirit. When your mother physically beat you and abused you, she not only damaged your body, but she wounded your spirit. And I'm telling you what, Holly and Johnny, it was just like a wellspring of water just burst out of her soul. She started sobbing because she identified with the wounded spirit. She's such a nice person. How could she be bitter? She's such a calm person. How could she be bitter? But as we began to understand our weaknesses, that calmness, that quietness was nothing more than her escapism in operation.
We talk about the trauma and the things that your wife was going through growing up. We talk about the trauma and things that you were going through when you were growing up. We all come to the table with this stuff. How do we, you know, commingle? How do we stay together without having to deal with or dealing with all of this garbage?
Well, you have to learn how to get free mentally and emotionally. So many people, you know, after they get saved, they think, well, if being a Christian is so wonderful, why am I still so miserable? When I was 20 and a half years old, I got saved. The Holy Spirit of God entered me. Okay, he was part of me. I was part of him. But I didn't act like a Christian, whatever that means. I had a problem with hostility. I had a problem with anxiety. I had a problem with feelings of insecurity. Sylvia had a problem with poor self-image. So you see, the older you get, the less opportunity we have to mature emotionally. So when I began to understand that the problem is not our weaknesses or our personality weaknesses, the problem is that root of bitterness. It troubles the individual and defiles many. So when Sylvia and I got married, guess what? She brought all her baggage into our marriage. I brought all my baggage into the marriage. And I'll tell you what, the honeymoon was not a wonderful experience.
Mm.
You see, because I was just another man. I was another abuser. But see, she kept that to herself. I did not know what was happening. And so I would say, why don't you talk to me? And she would just withdraw. I remember one time, I'm just recalling this right now. One time she was so afraid of me that she actually went in the bathroom and locked the door because she didn't know how to respond to that.
Yeah.
You see,
yeah.
I say it like this. In every marriage, there's a parent and there's a child. In every marriage, there's the dominant one and the more passive, withdrawn one. It has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with personality. So I thought, okay, well, what's going on here now? We both love the Lord. We're both nice people. We're here to serve other people. We're here to bring value to other people's lives. The Lord's using us in a wonderful way. So what's going on? What's the underlying problem? That's when I discovered the root of bitterness is the underlying problem. When I counsel people or coach people, I have four basic goals established for them. The first thing I promise them I will do, I will help them identify the underlying problem, not treat the symptom. Hostility, anxiety, fear, feelings of insecurity, feelings of inadequacy, sexual conflicts, those are all symptomatic behaviors. Okay, we're going to identify the underlying problem. Second thing we're going to do is we're going to isolate that problem. John, you said, how do we commingle that? You don't commingle. You learn how to get free from the past. Mm-hmm. You learn how to disconnect from your emotional energy thieves. See, Sylvia, she was 20 years old when we got married. She was my wife, but guess what? Her mother and father were still emotionally plugged into her. She had patterns that they built into her that still controlled her life. I was still plugged into my parents, okay? But I still had emotional patterns that my parents built into my life.
For premarital counseling, that would be something that you're a big fan of.
In my 25 years of counseling, I've never really had that much premarital counseling. And you know why? They haven't suffered enough yet. Okay, they need to go ahead and get married. They need to have all that garbage come to the surface. And then they're saying, oh, we've got a problem. Let's get some help.
Yeah.
So premarital counseling, usually what that is, this becomes another rule book that people feel like they have to measure up or they're not going to be a good husband or a good wife.
You had said the four things. So identifying the problem, isolating the problem. What's three and four?
Okay, number three is eliminating the problem. I teach people how to get free from the past. I teach people how to unplug from their emotional energy thieves. I teach people how to take ownership of their life. Identify, isolate, and eliminate. Now, here's the fourth, and I think the most important goal is I teach my clients how to become their own counselor. So they don't have to depend on someone else for a lifeline to sanity. You know, Johnny and Holly, you're intelligent people. You didn't come down with a thunderstorm yesterday. Okay? All you have to be taught is truth on how you should be able to guide your own life. But here's the good thing. Once you're free from that baggage from the past, then you're free to create the present and enjoy the present so you can design your future. But here's the sad thing. Many of your people listening to me right now will identify this. They've got wounds from the past. They continually are bleeding emotionally because of those wounds. They're not enjoying the present. And because they're not enjoying the present, they can't even begin to focus on their future. It's an impossibility.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. It does. And I think, too, when you take a look at marriage in general, I mean, for me and my husband, like you said, like we did the premarital counseling, but it wasn't until we were faced with the day-to-day that we realized, oh, I'm not perfect. I thought I was perfect.
Funny, I always found that I was perfect. It's so weird.
Yeah. Your wife says otherwise.
Yeah, she doesn't agree.
How funny.
It's true. It is. It's yeah, and it's an important thing to bring up that as much as some people would say premarital counseling is important, they should also then do like annual checkups. Like, hey, how are you doing?
That's good.
Well, what I do, one of the tools that I use is called the Taylor-Johnson Temperament Analysis Profile. It's from Psychological Publications out of Los Angeles. And when Sylvia and I, we went for marriage counseling with the pastor and several pastors, as a matter of fact, all we heard from them was we just need to pray about it. They just really need to lay it at the foot of Jesus. You need to get closer to God. And I got so tired of that Band-Aid therapy. There was no answers. But this one pastor administered the Taylor-Johnson Temperament Analysis Profile. That's where I answered 180 questions on myself. Hmm. Well, I rated 99% dominant. Sylvia rated 99% submissive. I rated 99% depressing. She rated 99% lighthearted. Okay? I rated 99% impulsive. She rated 99% self-composed. Did we have a few problems? You know, when I speak to a crowd, I always ask, how many of you folks here, after you got married, about 6 months later, you're laying in bed and you're looking at that person sleeping next to you and saying, who is this person I got married to? Now, every hand goes up, you know, because let's face it, be honest, you don't get to know that person until after you get married to them. They don't get to know you until after they've been married to you. It's an impossibility.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking about marriage. We're talking about, you know, just how do you navigate those early days, but even like the long-term days? Because it feels like a lot of people get married, they have kids, and then they get divorced once the kids have grown. And I think, too, a lot of our listeners might be in that phase where they're soon to be empty nesters. There's another big shift in their life coming. What kind of conversations would you suggest that they have to weather yet another pretty significant life change?
Well, that's a fantastic question. What kind of conversation do I suggest they have? My first conversation I would suggest is, now that the kids are gone, are you ready to start paying attention to each other? Hmm. Okay. Now, I have two wonderful sons. My younger son's 53 years old. Man, I can't believe that. My older son's 55. But when our children came along, I said, now, Sylvia, I want you to know I'm not married to my boys. I'm married to you. We're not going to live for our children. And such a tragedy because so many men and women, they're so unhappy in their marriage. All they do is focus on what the kids need. They don't focus on what their mate needs mentally or emotionally. So when they come to that time in their life where they're empty nesters, they're empty souls. Because they don't know that person they've been married to. Now, I'm so grateful that after 57 years of marriage, my wife and I have, Sylvia and I, we have what I call a genuine love. God has blessed me with the kindest, most gentle, loving, giving human being a man could ask for a mate. And I would like to think that she thinks the same of me, but I sure tell you that God has used me to give her courage. God has used me to build boldness into her. God has used me to give her a vision. Because when she was a child, she had none of that. Okay? But the bottom line is, neither of us had what we needed till both of us got saved. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't have the ability to develop genuine wisdom. It's an impossibility.
When I was growing up, I remember saying this, and I mean, I'm not sure, Holly, if you're the same thing. I am never going to be like my parents. I don't ever want to be like X, Y, Z. I wanted to discipline different than what my parents did because they enjoyed the belt, and I apparently received it quite a bit. And so how do you get away from the things that, like, I mean, Gary, you talked about your parents being alcoholics. how do you get away from, were you the type of person then that had said, I don't also want to be like alcohol is not going to be a part of my life. I don't want to be what my parents were.
When you say, I'm not going to be like my parents, I'm not going to be like my dad. The bottom line is you spend so much time and energy trying not to be like them. You develop what I call an emotional focus. You may not pick up their habits as far as alcohol or something like that, some physical substance, but you definitely pick up their emotional patterns, good or bad. You become an exact duplicate of your parents. Okay? It happens all the time. And so I'll never forget when I was 16 years old, my father beat me for the last time. That's when I fought back. And I ran out of the house. I left my home when I was 16 years old. And Johnny, I said, I'm not going to be like that man. I'm not, you know, when I got married, see, because all I ever saw was my parents fight. So when I got married, my marriage is going to be different than that. Well, it was an exact duplicate. Why? Because I had that emotional pattern of hostility. I had that emotional pattern. I've got to dominate. I've got that emotional pattern of I will control. So I carried it into my marriage. And guess what? Sylvia and I, we fit together emotionally like a glove on a hand. I need someone to dominate, and she needs someone to dominate her.
Sure.
I became her mother personality-wise. Mm-hmm. I just took her mother's place. She was 19 years old when I met her, and I'll never forget, I went up to her on campus at campus party, introduced myself, and said, hey, would you like to go out and have a beer? Now, we're in the Bible college, right? So you don't go out and have a beer.
No.
She said, no, I won't drink alcohol. And I said, I'm joking with you. I'm talking about root beer.
Yeah.
And it went from that to, what are we going to do on our date? You know? And so I was, now I'd only been a Christian about 2 years at that time.
Yeah.
So there were so many things that we brought into our relationship. Hers was fear. Mine was, I'm going to do what I want to. Nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to do. You know, that type of thing. So you've got to learn how to disconnect from the past. But you've got to understand what the past has done to you.
Yeah.
If you don't understand the fingerprints of your past, then you're never going to enjoy the mental and emotional freedom that God wants you to enjoy as an adult. It's not going to happen. And I don't know how this is in Canada, but I do know in the United States, the divorce rate in the Christian community is almost 62%.
Yeah.
Secular community, it's about 53%. The divorce rate for second time marriages is up to 67%. It's really hilarious. People think, well, you know, I'll just get divorced and I'll find someone that can really love me. Lots of luck with that one, sweetheart. That's not going to happen. Okay.
Oh, no.
See, I say it like this. A man's ability to love his wife is the overflow of his own self-esteem. Now, stop and think about that. If a man doesn't have a positive self-image, if a man has conflicts with feelings of insecurity and inadequacy, how is he going to give his love the security, his wife the security that she needs? You can't give what you don't have.
I want to go back to the comment that you made about going to counseling, and they said, oh, just pray harder. Because we have a lot of people who have grown up in, you know, I would say toxic faith-based communities where that was like, that's like, just pray harder. Oh, no, don't, you know, our counseling is good enough because ours is based in Jesus. So don't worry about diving into some of the other things. Just pray. Let's just pray. So how, if someone has received that kind of counsel, what would you say to them to get a more holistic and full approach to their healing journey?
Go to my website, rejectionjunkies.com. Now, the reason I say that, there's a quiz on the first page of my website. Are you a rejection junkie? And they can answer those and click the ones that they identify with. And I'll get their email and their phone number. And what I do is I arrange a free, no cost, absolute, no strings attached, a 30-minute evaluation of their quiz. Okay? The bottom line is, I'm sorry. I just had a brain fart.
That happens to me all the time. And you're the only other person that I've heard that said brain fart. That's what I say.
Okay. But we're real people, aren't we?
We are. Oh, I love that you said that.
Well, what happened to me is, you know, in January of 21, the last week of that month, I had a very serious stroke. And I was in the hospital and rehab for about a month altogether. And the last 3 years have been a real journey. I'm pretty well 100% recovered.
Amazing.
I told Sylvia, I refuse to live without a purpose. What am I going to retire to? Television? The golf course? No, not at all. I'm not going to change a white ball around 18 holes of golf. But anyway, I said I refuse to live without a purpose. So what I did is, and my wife encouraged me and my sons to update my book, Rejection Junkies. So I sat down and started reading it. And I thought, wow, this is a pretty good book. I want to meet the author, you know. So we did. We upgraded it, and it became a bestseller on Amazon. And then I took a course in life coaching. Not that I needed it, but it was part of my cognitive therapy. And so I decided I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing life coaching with men and women who are really serious about putting value into their life and their relationships. And that's why I'm on as your guest today. Trying to reach out to people, whether it's one at a time or 10 at a time. But there is a solution to your situation.
We talk about the hills and valleys of life, Gary, where we ask God that question. God, why me? Why am I having to go through this? Why am I having to deal with this? We talk about you wanting to live a life of purpose. We talk about you going through having a stroke. Can you think of a moment where you ask God that question? God, why me?
So many times I can't pinpoint one, but I'll tell you what. When I was in my rehab hospital room, there was a window, and right outside the window, there's a cement brick wall. And now you can't open the window. You can't go out in the patio, but there's a wall out there. And I'm sitting there. I'm thinking, okay, Lord, I've got another brick wall, but I've got to find a way around it. I've got to learn how to climb over it. Lord, help me get under it. But God, I will get around this wall. I know you still have a purpose for me until I draw my last breath. And my heart goes out to men and women who do not have the joy in their heart that God has a purpose for their being where they are in life. Mm. Now, you ask me, how did I end up getting into the counseling? Well, guess what? From my own problems, from my own marriage situations, I got certain answers. And I had quite a reputation with pastors and their wives. We built a lot of friendships as I traveled throughout the states. They started flying to Winnipeg and for marriage and family counseling. And so that's why I eventually, you know, we had a great ministry, but I just had a real desire to help pastors and their wives, because there are so many pastors and their wives who are dealing with marital issues, just like everyone else. Well, who do they go to? How do they feel safe?
Yeah.
Or executives of companies, you know, and so on. And so that was the why me at that time. Yeah. I did not want to be one of those counselors that was still in bondage to the past. I wanted to be free mentally and emotionally so I could help those men and women that came to me to experience the same.
Brother, you're a wealth of knowledge. Rejectionjunkies.com, as you had mentioned. Dr. Gary Lawrence, my friend, thank you for taking some time and sharing your heart today.
I certainly don't have all the answers by any means. I've counseled some of the wealthiest people in our country. I've counseled some of the well-known personalities. You know some of them. I've counseled those who are the poorest. I've counseled those who are the brokest. And guess what? Welcome to the human race. We all have problems. Okay. But successful people are not people without problems. They are people who've learned how to solve their problems. And I believe this with all my heart. No matter the situation, there is a solution. Okay? There's a purpose for your problems. And that purpose is not just to make you feel happier in life, but it's to give you a purpose and a direction in life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the why me. That's why I'm where I'm at today. And so I've set a goal. I'm still a young man. I'm only 79. And so I've set a goal for the next 6 years. And I'm excited about that, because I'm going to keep helping. I told Sylvia, as long as God lets me, and I'm not going to be a neurotic about it, You know, I'm not going to take everybody that wants to come along because not everybody wants help. There's a lot of people who enjoy their suffering. So I just take people that really want help. God bless you now.
You
have
too.
A great day.
Here's the thing. When you have somebody like him who's a wealth of knowledge, sometimes you just got to let the guy talk. Just talk.
I know.
I'm going to learn a lot. Just let me take notes.
I was actually taking notes. Okay, yeah. So standout moments about the opposites attract, then they attack, then they retract.
Yeah.
Love that.
I wrote opposites attract, then they attack, then they retract.
Yay!
I wrote it down. And then there's identifying the problem, isolating the problem, eliminate the problem. Yeah.
And then bureau counselor.
Notes. That's all. This is what this is.
Yeah.
If you're looking for an episode that you're going to listen to 3, 4, 5, 13 times.
Yeah, this is
it's
it.
It's because you're writing notes down.
Exactly. And it's incredible when someone shares their knowledge and allows us to see certain things in different ways. Like his approach to counseling the couple where the husband had an affair. Mm. Like definitely not the angle that I've heard some people go.
No.
And at first I'm like, oh no. Like, why would you even say that? But. Because he wanted the end results to be where they were together.
Yeah.
And so you have to attack things sometimes from a different angle.
Yeah.
So anyway, I so appreciated Dr. Gary Lawrence today just downloading the wisdom for us.
Yeah. And we would love for you to download the episodes.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Whether it's places like Apple Podcast or Spotify, we try to get a ton of guests with way more knowledge than we have. That's really easy to do.
Yep.
And then we just sit there and we ask the questions and gain knowledge like everyone else does.
Yeah, exactly. So we are all in this together. We thank you so much for being a part of the journey with us. Of course, Johnny mentioned how you can subscribe. Please share if you think someone will be encouraged by our guest today. We also are now posting extra videos on YouTube only, so you can check that out. And yes, you can go to faithstrongtoday.com.